Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations, among other internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Today is July 27th, 2007. PIPTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIPTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIPTR is also dedicated to helping publish mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now, from 2:30 to 3 Eastern Standard Time, let me introduce to you Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian. And hi out there to everybody. Wow, I wish I could see you and we could be in some big room together. It would be so much fun and so lovely. Yes, it's Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, and my work is called The Enchanted Self, Positive Psychology for Women. And I have this program, Happiness for Women Only, and I have the pleasure of a collaborator who works with me, a co-leader on the show, Martha Trowbridge, and she writes inspirational writings for women in crisis. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's a beautiful day here in New Jersey. I'm happy to be here. And Martha and I have been designing this show and giving it to the world for, what, 3 or 4 months now. And we're using today as a kind of a fun review, open jam session between the two of us with our two different backgrounds and slightly different views and research and so on that we bring to Happiness for Women, to review some of what we've done up to this point, including some of what our guest speakers have had to say. And I think that's going to be really fun and helpful. And let me remind all of you that all our shows are archived. You can find them on this same radio internet site. So you don't have to be out of the loop if today happens to be the first day that you're listening to us. Go back and listen to some of the old shows and catch up whatever you need, because we've given a lot of theory and a lot of great ideas. And we've had some wonderful speakers, including Dr. Dan Baker, who happens to be the founding director of the Life Enhancement Program at Canyon Ranch. Dr. Dori Lynn, who's written a wonderful book for women who have to deal with sick husbands, which happens as we get older. And Dr. Abraham Twersky, who happens to be internationally known as one of the greatest sages alive, who crosses the fields of theology and psychiatry. So we have had some wonderful programs and opportunities. And Martha and I, in our own framework, I just want to very quickly review that we have looked at girls and women through the lenses of age as well as the 7 gateways to happiness. So what we have done is I have a paper, The 7 Gateways to Happiness, based on my research in the treatment room, my workshops, all the work I've been doing in The Enchanted Self for 20 years at this point, and I compiled a simple paper you can get for free just by downloading it on my website, the front page, Enchanted Self, that's one word, enchantedself.com. And the paper takes you through the various gateways to happiness, 7 different gateways that we all have to go through in life at one time or another, and many of the gateways we've got to go through many times to get our bearings as we cross different bridges in life. For example, I'll just tell you one gateway very briefly. For example, we have to sustain ourselves with a certain amount of pleasure and replenishment and happiness in life. If we do not, we run on empty, we feel awful, we can be depressed mentally, we can be physically wrecked. it's not good. It doesn't work. We're humans. We're not machines. And we have our own female approach to life. And everything has to be taken into account to give us enough sustained happiness. Now, whether you're a girl of 10 trying to find your way, you need to feel upbeat and happy part of the time at least, or you will be a very sad little child, or whether you're 60 and you're in the, hopefully the prime of your life if your health has sustained itself, and you have freedom and an opportunity to make life choices, you still have to build in enough pleasure, enough time to take care of your body and your mind, to soothe yourself, to get enough sleep. And that's the fourth gateway to happiness. We cannot go through life and ignore these gateways to happiness. So we've divided the life cycle from childhood through about 20, and we've discussed the seven gateways to happiness. And then we've looked at women 20 to 35-ish, and again discussed the seven gateways to happiness. And then 35 to 50-ish, and the seven gateways to happiness. And then the woman 50 and older, and again through the seven gateways to happiness. That's the framework that Martha Trowbridge and I have spent actually a couple of years chatting through the email and phone before we even came to this show. That's the framework. I think it's working very well. We plan to continue it in the autumn. And in August, you'll hear us reviewing it. You'll also hear Martha maybe having at least one guest of her own in the field. And I will have a chance to review all of this with Dr. Sandra Prinzembri, who is our resiliency expert, who will also be on one review show in August. And here we go. Martha, let me mention to you something that Dan Baker wrote in his quotes, his book, What Happy Women Know. He said, happy women are never alone because they don't abandon themselves.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's just terrific. And, you know, Barbara, that raises the whole question of what is the difference between being lonely and being alone? They're two very different experiences.
They sure are. Right. I heard another quote. I think I read it in Cosmopolitan for Kids, or one of the magazines that has a teenage edition, and it was something like young woman came up with the thought, and she said something like, you meet the best friend in your life the day you're born and don't ever forget her.
And that runs so counter to what many of us are raised to believe, that we need to look outside ourselves to find friendship, to find comfort, to find happiness. And it's a very sad lesson to be learning when you're a young girl.
That's right. And sometimes in many homes and communities, even the schooling process makes the young girl feel that what she has to offer is just not good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, that academically she's weak in this or that area. She doesn't stand straight. Look at her tummy sticking out. Her posture's poor. She's not being polite enough when Aunt Sally comes to visit, and doesn't she know that Aunt Sally gives her a check for $20? And, you know, she's not chewing her food enough, or she's beating up on her little brother, and she's going to have delinquency problems. Maybe she'll even have to go to reform school. I mean, that was the threat in my generation. I don't know if parents even indulge in that threat anymore.
I don't know if there are reform schools anymore, Barbara.
I know. From the time I was 4 on, I was vaguely imagining what this reform school that my mother was going to send me to, and, you know, some stark building with tiny windows and, I guess, vaguely like a prison, and, you know, sort of wondering how could she say she loves me and she's threatening, you know. But, of course, I had a little boy down the street who was threatening to put me in the mailbox, and then the mailman would come and take me away. So either way,
oh,
I was
no.
leaving, you know.
Oh, dear.
So, but, you know, these impressions that we're not good enough, we're just not making it. For a child, as the ego is developing, then it keeps her or gets in the way of her feeling that she is fine, that she is a good enough person, that she has great resources, and mm-hmm. no matter who's around or not around, she can carry it off.
You know, Barbara, this is bringing to mind, you mentioned earlier we're going to have a guest, that I will have a guest next week on August 3rd, Dr. Frank Summers, and we will be discussing that very thing, this sense of feeling unworthy and how it has terrible impact your whole life through and what you can do about it as an adult to try to reverse that brainwashing that's done to you at a very young age.
Right, and I think that in a general way, my seven gateways to happiness all take into account that you may have had some sense of unworthiness and that you're going to have to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the gateway, the second gateway to happiness, where I help people work on a narrative, a positive narrative to their lives, and see their lives in a positive storyline with great meaning, then you can begin to reframe what you have been told was, you know, you've done this and that wrong, or you haven't accomplished this. Reframe it so that you can see that you've really been a star given the circumstances that you were in.
That is so key, is to be compassionate towards yourself and understand that there were barriers, there were restrictions and so on that perhaps prevented you from achieving what you might have liked to, but that doesn't mean to say from this day forward you can't go on and go after things that you do want to achieve.
Right. Understanding that you'll have to work on yourself as you pursue these things. That
as we all have. I think
yeah.
that's key. Everyone who gets anywhere works like mad to get there.
You know, when I took my psychology exams in 1981, which gives you a sense of how long I've had my license in psychology in the state of New Jersey, and I'm very proud of that, I had tremendous anxiety, and I was in therapy at the time, and finally, I couldn't even understand the level of anxiety given the circumstances. And like a light bulb, you know, we finally got to the pivotal reason why I had that anxiety. And it really was because in both of my families of origin, I was going beyond the envelope of where a woman was supposed to go.
And yet, Barbara, though, you were the daughter of an eminent college professor.
Yes, and I had all my courage, most of my courage, to move, to get a doctorate in my 20s, to really pursue the field of psychology. All of that was coming from my father's tremendous ability to make me feel, and he believed, that women should not be, you know, kept in the home barefoot and pregnant, that you work, you do what your mission is and what your calling is and so on, and you don't let other people try to control you and tell you what your envelope should be like.
Have you ever thought what your life would be if you hadn't had your father's encouragement?
I can't even imagine, except that I know even to this day, if I'm with a group of women who are self-limiting themselves, for example, they're even chatting on the beach or anything, and they're participating in some gossip, and they're busying themselves with criticizing unimportant details about other people rather than focusing on what they're trying to achieve or do, I feel a sense of pity for them, but then I become very frustrated. I don't want to be part of it because it's a waste of time. You know, it just doesn't feel good. And I think women have been forced into some of those roles because they weren't given, they lost so much of the power. You know, if you're in a family system where you're either going to get married and or possibly have a chance to get a 2-year degree, maybe you'll be a dental hygienist. If you're really, really lucky, maybe you'll get to become a teacher. Which, and I'm not degrading these fields. My God, there's nothing better than sitting in the dental chair with a good dental hygienist, you know. But it's the matter of how you're made to feel growing up about who you can become and how it fits your own sense of core identity. And once it doesn't fit that well, I think that there's a tremendous dissonance in the person, and then we look around and we see, you know, we're not angels. I mean, we make the best of our reality situations, too. And you begin to see that, you know, sort of spending time with the gals, picking apart the world around you, has a little flavor to it also.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just speaking in generalities, you know, I'm not talking about any particular person, but I think just like women, men have had habits of perhaps concentrating and focusing too much on sports, whatever, and missing family time and intimate time. I think women in parallel lives, so to speak, have developed habits that don't always befit them to the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm rambling a little around that, but going back to staying in touch with that we are our own best friends, and if you've had, you've got to learn that again and again and again, and you will have interruptions. When we had Dr. Abraham Twersky on the show, he was giving us spiritual steps that we all need to take to grow, and we were discussing with him that day that once you start to grow and you have a clearer sense of your own identity, it does throw the family and or the husband or even the best friends, whoever it is, you throw off people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always like when you grow. We don't understand why they don't run out and give us a dozen roses and clap.
Right. The opposite reaction is often the case.
Yeah.
And it can be awfully difficult to maintain your momentum when significant others are reacting badly to your success.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my clients put it the best way I ever heard, metaphorically, and she said, it's like you're all on a raft together, okay? Well, you know when you're on a raft, you have to sit, like, really still, or it wobbles.
Mm-hmm.
So now you think you have this, you know, you're doing something just great, but it necessitates you maybe moving from one side and the next person to the other side, metaphorically,
mm-hmm.
and the whole raft practically goes over.
Right. Pandemonium.
Yeah. No one likes it.
No, I think what is so helpful in situations like that is to help the people around you who feel threatened to find a way to start feeling better about themselves.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Yes, to help them get invested in hopeful things as opposed to feeling stuck, feeling stagnant, feeling relativized to less than when you become more successful or more whatever it is you're trying to do. Even more happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as how each of you feel about when you wake up, how each of you feel when you wake up in the morning and whether you have happy days or not.
Do you have any, can you think of anything where, or even make up something where you help someone feel better about themselves as you yourself are improving?
Well, if your partner feels, and I'm assuming, say, this is a marital or relational
mm-hmm.
kind of situational dynamic, if your partner feels, for example, you're getting more ahead in terms of your education than he is, help him find things he's interested in, help him, encourage him, you know, and he can be highly resistant to it, but find ways to lovingly inspire him to go out and seek what it is that will make him feel more educated or doing work that he likes to do or even involved in hobbies. Hobbies can be a tremendous release, can be so soothing. And I know here in Vermont I have had the joy of meeting several men who are passionate gardeners. They live to garden. They're in other occupations as well, but they just, I mean, their whole year is planned around the garden. They're just so passionate about it. And so their daily work is not the be-all and end-all for them because they have their gardens. And it's just great. It's really great. They're very happy, adjusted, calm men. Right. So just helping, you know, lots of times people are disconnected from their passions and their dreams, and that holds true for men as well as women.
Well, going back to when I got my license, it turned out that no one in either family had, you know, resented it at all. The other women, the very women where in childhood I must have absorbed some sort of panic that if I went beyond the envelope I'd be abandoned or something.
Mm-hmm.
People were thrilled. I represented for them a level of achievement that even if they never sought to do, made them proud and made them feel that the window was bigger for women than they had imagined.
Well, you actually did the whole family proud. You were a credential for the family.
Yeah.
And I bet they were bragging about you to their friends.
They were, and my mother was absolutely thrilled, and I know at some level I was panicking around my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my father died 8 years ago, I really, you know, my mother went through such a loss and losing an intimate partner of almost 60 years. I think that I was able to do what you're talking about in helping someone else. I think at some level my mother may have been a little not really jealous of me at all, but, you know, looking at me where I had published books and my husband, thank God, was alive, whatever, you know, it's sort of like a little bit woe is me. It's not the same as jealousy, but there's a feeling there of
sadness.
Loss, sadness.
Yes, of sadness for her lost potential.
Right. Mm-hmm. And basically, through brainstorming with my sister, myself, and my mother, we came up with this great idea. I think I generated the energy, but not all the planning. And that was that since she had taken a writing course for 10 years and had about 40, 50 stories, they were great, let's publish a book that's my mother's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's great.
You know, we ended up doing that. Feel Good Stories actually is a wonderful book. It goes from the day she was born and how she viewed her family system as she was entering the world in the hospital. And it's very funny. All the way through her retirement days at Reed's Landing and being in a beauty pageant in her early 80s. And it's just a wonderful living book of stories that go all through life, funny, mostly funny, some poignancy. And, you know, that really, really changed the way she viewed 3 or 4 years of her life doing the process of this book.
And she feels so accomplished, which
she
is
does.
A marvelous feeling of
yeah.
satisfaction.
And my only sadness, and certainly Lillian Caldwell can understand this as doing so much with the Internet Voices Radio, is my mom is now in a situation where her health is not as good and she can't do certain publicity for her own book, such as mm-hmm. going to a book signing or even being on the radio, she probably would not come through at her strong points anymore. So that to some extent the book has been undersold and under out there,
mm-hmm.
but it's still my wish and my plan that, you know, to do what I can.
Mm-hmm.
But she has gotten a lot of what she needed from it.
Great. That's a wonderful story.
Yeah, yeah. And so sometimes we can just do what you said. We can think of a way that we love somebody, we're not really in competition with them, and what can we do to help move them to more happiness? Because happiness is not just for us. Happiness, and we call the show Happiness
for... I thought it was for women only. Barbara, you'll get a kick out of hearing all my male friends who hear this title say, what do you mean for women only? They're all outraged. And they ask if they can tune in, and I say, absolutely not. The show's for women. I'm like, oh,
well,
gosh.
You know, it's just a way of, the reason why it's for women only is that I do have a feeling through research and my own years in private practice and so on that men often have a better way of stabilizing and getting some of their needs met and feeling happy, even if it's just zoning out with ball games and popcorn. And
a beer.
Right. And a few swear words on the weekends.
Right.
And have more trouble as women. And
I think we're so more so more emotionally developed than most men. I mean, I don't think there's a comparison. What did Dan Baker say, that women are the keepers of the relationships? Didn't he say something like that last
week?
He did,
but I don't have all of his quotes circled, so I don't know if I can really come up with that.
And the part of the brain structure in
women
is far more developed than in most men. I mean, we're speaking in terrible generalizations here, but I think that's true. And if we are the nurturers, I mean, let's face it, we are biologically the nurturers.
Right. Oh, he was saying that the men have to go out into the field, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago and hunt and be quiet. You have to be quiet for hours to stalk that animal. And meanwhile, you know, us women are back at the tent tending the elderly, feeding the babies, peeling the corn, et cetera, and we're chatting and have
to talk. And yakety-yaks.
Right.
Was it you who said, Barbara, someone told me the average number of words a woman uses per day. Were you telling me that a few months ago?
I was, but the latest research shows that it may be less of a difference than we have thought. But the latest research is on college men, and they may be talking more than by the time men go to a job 8-10 hours a day and come home wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, yes, we have more words, and there was this wonderful comedy on Broadway, The Caveman, in which the one man solo, the guy says that, you know, his wife at night would keep saying things to him like, look at me, I need to talk, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he didn't want to look at her because eye contact.
Sounds like my husband, Barbara. I'll say, look at me, I'm talking to you. And, you know, very begrudgingly he'll raise his eyes.
Yeah, they don't like to make eye contact the same way we
what
do.
What is it with these?
Well, because eye contact implies a kind of intimacy and obligation that, again, is stylistically different between the sexes. You know, we make eye contact so naturally, it doesn't mean much to us. I mean, we do it politely. It's supposed to be.
Oh, but eye contact for a man signals an entree to intimacy?
Yes, and it's also a sexual thing. If, you know, in some cultures, men are trained not to make eye contact with a woman unless he's available and she's available. So there's a lot of stuff. But, yes, we don't run out of words, and we need, and you talked about this, as we finish up for today, remind people about that sense of being connected that women need so desperately to be happy.
Oh, right. The research from Jean Baker Miller and the Stone Center at Wellesley College, that they have developed a body of work called Relational Cultural Theory, which explains women's development in terms of relationships, women's psychological development, our emotional gratification and so on, is intimately tied to the quality and nature of our relationships as opposed to the psychological development of men.
Right.
We're wired very differently.
So, for example, a man could be the head of a company and totally invested in keeping 500 people working and getting a salary and running this factory and whatever. And he of course, he wants his family to be happy, but his wife will take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she needs the relationships.
Right.
And, of course, if he's too tired to provide any of the relationships, then there's problems at home.
And actually, Barbara, I'm thinking as you speak, a corollary of that truth is that acquiring and developing and sustaining good relationships at any age for women is so powerfully healing and motivating, since that is what sustains us, what helps
us. That's right. That's right.
Even if you've been lonely your whole life, it's never too late to go out and find good relationships that will help get you beyond where you are and draw you out of yourself into a world that's just magnificent. I know I found my friendships have made all the difference for me in my journey.
And I think, you know, we even emulate that. Martha and I found each other through the web.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, yes, I noticed that you had studied at Mentor Coach, where I had taken a few classes as well, and I wrote to you and said, Barbara, I had been on actually your e-newsletter list for a year or two, and then one day somehow you mentioned Mentor Coach, and that prompted me to write you a note, and that's how it all began.
I know, and our friendship has been very sustaining. Professionally has, I think, brought a lot of encouragement and inspiration to both of us back
yes,
and forth.
It has. It's been great.
Yeah, and we just took the risk through a technology that didn't exist 10 years ago, or at least no one knew how to use it like today, and befriended each other and started calling each other. And we're not alone. There are thousands of women.
Mm-hmm.
One of my secretaries flies all over the country meeting women in specific, I think she has been in Overeaters Anonymous or, you know, something equal to that, and,
mm-hmm.
and looks for a certain type of group that's meeting
fabulous.
Her needs, and has met a lot of women.
And made some great friendships.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
is terrific.
So
that we do, Barbara, want to encourage our listeners that no matter how lonely you feel and how hopeless, there are ways to connect, and it is a baby step to use email if you do have computer access, where you're not actually having to physically present yourself, but you can share as much of yourself as you feel safe and just progress from there, and if you don't feel safe, you just don't continue. But it's just a great way to get to know people until you feel you're at the point where you physically would like to meet the person, or maybe graduate to telephone conversations, which is nice as well.
I agree. And are any of your books for sale at the ebook level at this point, except I know one of them was on my selling list, and I've got to see if it I lost my site at one point about 4 months ago, and I'm still fixing the selling section a little bit. But aside from my site, can anyone actually buy an ebook of yours right now?
Oh, yes. The Woman You Were Born to Be is available for sale on my website, which is www.marthatrowbridge.org. And my Wings of Self-Love should, I've been saying this for months, the book keeps getting more and more developed, and I've got to say, okay, it's time to stop. But that should be available for sale in ebook form in August as well.
Okay.
Yes,
all right, and
you.
We're going to try to make it a goal in the next couple of weeks to get it back for sale on my site if it's not there. And I want to mention that that's a great way to start, too, is to download one of Martha's book. And also, my particular book that I would suggest in this area of getting some courage is Recipes for Enchantment, The Secret Ingredient is You, which brings us right back to Dan Miller's quote that we read at the beginning of the show, that happy women are never alone because they don't abandon themselves. And this book, through stories and journaling, brings you back to yourself again and again and again. And you'll get a kick out of the stories because they're miracle stories and stories that are about adventures in people's lives, all sorts of things. And you can download that as an ebook off of my site, enchantedself.com, or go on the ordering page and get it as a beautiful soft cover book, and I'll mail it to you, and or call me at 732. Let me give you the 877B, the letter B, Joyful, Joyful, the 800 number. Well, it's not really 800, 877.
That's a great number.
Yeah, I know. I know. It is a cute
good
number.
Good for you.
And we're going to say goodbye for now. I think we did a very fun job of kind of reconnecting a lot of the concepts that kind of finish our first course in Happiness for Women Only, and we'll keep reviewing in August also. And stay with us and go back and listen to archives. You can download them as podcasts and come to our sites and get to know us. We're both here. We'll answer emails. We're not strangers. We don't just ignore people. And stay with us. And thanks again, and goodbye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only and her co-host, Dr. Martha Trowbridge. If you want to hear this all over again, please go to http://internetvoicesradio.com. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you put down the phone or stop listening, I have something for you by Andy Lenclose, who says, "Today a new sun rises. Everything is animated. Everything speaks to me of my passion. Everything invites me to cherish." Thank you very much for listening. Remember, check out the website, http://internetvoicesradio.com. Should you ever want to join in with Dr. Holstein and her co-host, Dr. Trowbridge, please call the number 916-233-4242, PIN number 924920#, and ask your question or speak your opinion. Thank you all very much for listening. Have a grand weekend, and we'll see you on Monday morning. Bye.